I always thought it would be cool if you could go back and listen to the day-to-day of today's highest achievers as it happened, as opposed to 30 years later after they've made it. I believe there's a giant disconnect between ground zero and the top floor, because we only see the top floor, and the top floor only talks about the top. You know, how valuable would that be? And so it goes without saying, but I believe I'll make it there. And this is the documented journey through each level. My name is Bryson Sessions, and you are listening to The Bed Podcast. All right, holy shit, we've got an actual... Probably the longest show that I've ever made. So this is just going to be one humongous recap of everything up to this point. Why I just rebranded everything. Why it's called The Bed Podcast. Why it's red. You know, why it's my face. What does that even stand for? You know, just everything. So this is probably going to be a long one. Don't know, but I have quite the amount of notes that I want to talk about, because this one is going to be the show that serves as a reference point or a milestone or whatever you want to call it to, I guess, size up where you're at with where I'm at. And why I say that sounds arrogant as fuck, but why I say that is because if you're, so I'm recording this for the person who's not even born yet. Someone's going to be born in 15 years. They're going to listen to it, or let's say they're born tomorrow. In 15 years, they're going to be 15 years old. 20 years, they're going to be 20, obviously. So by the time they're 20, I'll have recorded 20 years worth of episodes. That's 7,305 of them. And they're going to be able to listen to these. They're going to be able to listen to my old man-ass self. Just kidding, that's young. But at 46, they're going to see, maybe I own a couple companies, maybe I have a few dollars, whatever. And they can go back and listen to these and see where I was at age 26 versus where they're at age 20. And I just use that as an example, but... even if the person listens and they're 30 or maybe they're 35, doesn't matter. They can see where I'm at, my circumstances, my struggles, my beliefs, my interests, my hobbies, my whatever you want to call it, everything. Compare that to where they're at, not to see who's further along or who's better or who's worse, but to be able to relate to someone who actually did it. And as of, at the time of recording this, I haven't done shit. So there's a lot of growth that needs to happen between now and the time that that person, whoever you are, listens to the show. And why I say that is, it would be so cool, and I'll say this a million times in the show, but it would be so cool if I could go back and listen to Andy Frisella back when he was running his first ever supplement store and hear him talk about his past, his previous jobs, his current financial standpoint, how he spends his time, what his priorities are, what his interests are, you know, what his schedule looks like as far as the hour-to-hour tasks and what he's doing, especially with no internet. You know, can you imagine that shit? Holy shit. So that's the goal. I want to be able to document everything and have somebody be able to listen back and be like, oh, that's what he was doing. Okay, so I'm doing that too. So maybe that's a sign of, maybe it's a good indication that I'm on the right path, you know? Oh, he spends 2 hours a day doing this. Oh, me too. That's cool. We're doing the same. That's the idea. That's the whole idea with that. So without further ado, here we go. So, yeah, here we go. So it's crazy to think how far we've come, but how little it is in the big picture. Because, you know, this is 157. Let's see. I want to double check because I was wrong yesterday. One sec. Got to scroll up. Let's see. So it's 157. So episode 157. And so we're almost at 6 months at the half year mark. I think 163 would be the half year, because 163 times 2 is 366. It's leap years, 366. Blah, blah, blah. So we're almost at the halfway point of a first year of 20. And just to clarify, am I going to stop once I get to 20? Probably not. But that's just the first goal. All right. Well, the first big goal. Of course, I want to get to 200 and then 300 and then 400 and then 1,000 and then 2,000. And then, you know, but... We'll just focus on this episode, and then before you know it, we'll be at 7,305, which is 20 years. So, yeah, so we've come pretty far, but not far at all whatsoever. So, anyway, so to recap a lot of what's going on, I started this whole thing as an additional task for phase one of the Live Hard program, which I'm going to talk a lot about in this show because it changed my life, and I swear by it. So... phase one of Live Hard, one of my additional tasks was to record a 20-minute podcast, and I made some rules. I couldn't tell anyone, no guests, just me, had to be at least 20 minutes long, had to have some sort of takeaway or value in the episode. I couldn't cut or edit anything, and I had to upload at least 5 per week. That was what I, those are the rules for me making the podcast. It wasn't just talking randomly, kind of, if I record a 2-minute show here or just get on and talk about bubblegum. Had to be something. So I ended up failing phase one on day 25 and had to restart. So when I restarted, I actually changed the tasks that I needed to do, that I was required to do to complete the program. And but I kept the podcast in. So ever since then, I've been recording one show every single day, and I have not missed one day since. So this is 157 of infinity, because I guess I'll stop when I die. And yeah, so that's kind of how we started. Those are the rules I had. And so for the first 100 episodes, those are the rules I had. First 100, nobody knew about it. I couldn't post about it. I couldn't share it with anybody. I had people, I would tell people, hey, I'm working on something. I'll tell you in 99 days. Oh, I'm working on something. I'll tell you in 47 days, you know. And I stayed strong to that. I didn't tell a single person about it. Not one person knew or had any clue that I was doing this for 100 days straight. And then on day 100, I told social media, which is about 80 followers or so. And people started listening. And as of yesterday, we hit 300 downloads total. And that averages out to be about two downloads per episode. So pretty funny to think that if you would have told me, hey, you're going to record 6 months straight worth of podcasts, but you're only going to have 2 listeners per show, would you do it? I mean, I don't know what I would say to that, but that's what we got. So it's kind of therapeutic for me to do these, actually, because I don't talk to people. I don't socialize much whatsoever. So being able to chat with, quote unquote, somebody, it's pretty cool. You know, sounds, makes me sound lonely as fuck, but I don't care. I'm having a good time. So anyway, 5 months later, here we are. And so my ultimate goal with this is specifically this podcast, I should say, is to document everything from the ground zero to the top floor, as you just heard in the brand new intro. And why I say this podcast is because I'm going to start a different one, and it's going to be more. I actually wrote about it, so I'm going to talk about it. So I got some show notes. I'm just going to read off my show notes. I'm going to go in that order. They're not organized, but I don't want to repeat myself and get out of order, even though there is no order. So yeah, okay. So yeah, the ultimate goal of this is to just document everything from ground zero to the top floor. I want to be able to have a playbook that says, I did this this day. This is my reaction. These are my self-doubts. I didn't do this because of this, or I made this much money, but oh, I lost this much money, or I failed this, or I lost the business, or whatever. Just everything. That's so cool. And the whole background belief or thought process behind that is it would just be cool to see the day-to-day of modern-day leaders like Andy Frisella, Elon Musk, David Goggins, Alex Hormozi, celebrities that are out there, authors, philosophers, actors, whatever, music artists, anybody. It'd be cool to see their day-to-day back then when they were actually doing it as opposed to them talking about it now. So really anyone you look up to and aspire to be like. So, I mean, just think about your favorite band or your favorite podcaster or whatever, and think back to maybe when they were, before they even started to do anything, you know, or even years before they even had the idea to do what they were doing. So in Andy Frisella's case, he started a supplement store and he slept in the back on a mattress that he says was piss stained. You know, that's, imagine being able to listen to those days when he was going through it, when he had no idea that he would make it to where he is now, and him to speak in the perspective of him then, not now, which is 20 years down or 25 years later in business. You know, he's 25 years in. I haven't even started. And so I would love to be able to listen to him pre 25 years before he even, you know what I mean? That's the whole idea. I just think that'd be so cool. And it kind of goes with what I was saying earlier, just how you could relate to somebody and size up where you are to where they are and just get some indications that maybe you really are on the right path, or get some insight of like, okay, well, he's doing this and he's got this going on. Maybe I should do that, and or not at all. So it doesn't matter. But so, yeah. So as the intro says, it goes without saying, but I believe that I will make it there 100%. And the reason why I believe that is because I'm doing all these things daily, and you can listen to the previous shows and kind of what I got going on, but I'm doing all these things daily I'm committed to doing them every single day. I've got a few streaks with certain things that really just reinforce discipline in my life. If I keep this up, how could I be in the same exact position I am now in 20 years? I just don't see how that's possible or realistic whatsoever. As long as I'm trying to get better, I'm pursuing excellence in all areas of my life. I'm trying to get just a tiny little bit better every single day, even in one area of life. Not all areas, just maybe just one. And I push myself with the intent to grow, with the intent to learn, with the intent to develop. How could I not be where I want to be? How could I not make it? How's that? How? Think about if you're learning to play basketball today and you practice every day, your goal is to get better every day. You practice one thing just a little bit every day. Maybe you don't practice 20 hours every day, but every single day you get just a little bit better. You put forth the effort to improve. How could you not be an incredibly great, talented, skilled, intelligent, did I just say it twice? Don't know. Don't care. A basketball player. How could you not be that in 20 years? You know, imagine you're 12 years old. You start shooting hoops around. You're just playing for fun. 20 years later, you're 32. You're in the NBA. You know what I mean? And before all the technicalities pop up of like, well, actually, nobody's in the NBA that's 46. And that's not the point. It's the principle behind it. So eat my ass. So anyway, that's what this whole podcast is about. I'm going to document everything up to that point. And I'm going to strive and commit and keep my word to everything I say as best as I can, because I'm human and we all make mistakes and we all are imperfect. But as long as we can commit to improving a little bit every day, I just don't see how you couldn't make it to where you want to go. I'm not saying it'll be easy by any means, but I just don't see how that's possible. So yeah, reading off my notes here, I already talked about a lot of shit that... I just want people who aren't even born yet to be able to look back at these episodes when they're 20 and see where I'm starting from, where I'm at, my condition, circumstances, see what I did to help them or see what I did to help them either relate to me or not feel alone and I guess most importantly, just serve as proof that anybody can do this shit. You just have to be willing to start right now and look like a dumbass for a few decades. And I don't like that thought at all. It makes me feel insecure, not going to lie, but I think I've been made more okay with that, knowing that, you know, I'm on episode 157 here, and I'm just more and more comfortable speaking. I'm more and more confident kind of sharing what I think because I've refined what I think. A lot of it was very unorganized, unpolished. I didn't really think things through. I still don't. It's all good. But doing this 157 times in a row now has helped me build that confidence. And so that's only 157 days. We got 7,100 and such more to go for this imaginary fake milestone that doesn't mean anything to anybody except maybe me. I don't even know. So imagine that with everything else in life. Do it 7,305 days in a row. I'm sure you'll be pretty good at it, whatever it is. So anyway, let's see what else we got here. So yeah, I did the 75 hard program and it changed my entire life. And I will always preach about the benefits of the program. I'll always be a fanboy. I'll always advocate for it. So it truly changed my life and I'm just never not going to do it again. It's a part. So 75, in case you don't know, 75 hard is the bootcamp to the Live Hard program, which is a year long program. It's made to be done every year for the rest of your life. And it's kind of like the training wheels of discipline. You put them on when you need them, take them off when you don't. Put them on when you need them, take them off when you don't. At least that's how I interpret it. And right now I'm doing pretty good. Don't need the training wheels, but there's a lot of rules, stipulations, conditions of the program. And I'm not going to go into depth of what the rules are, but it's a life-changing program. It's absolutely 1,100 bajillion gazillion percent free. And I think it always will be. And it changed my life. And because I did that program, you're listening to this podcast. So very cool. So I think what the program proved to me best was I was living a very, very mediocre life beforehand. And now that I did it, I know, and I've been proved to, that I'm capable of living an exceptional life. And it proved to me that I have the potential to do big things and that I have the discipline. I can build a discipline. It showed me that I could develop discipline. It showed me that I could actually keep my word and I guess remain committed to whatever I'm doing, battle through the hard days, battle through the hardships, the struggles, whatever. And I can win the day every day. it showed me that I could, and I did. And so through 75 hard, phase one, phase two, and it's phase three here in June, it changed my whole life. I can't stress it enough. So if you're interested in the program, go check out Real AF, the podcast Real AF by Andy Frisella. It's episode, I think it's 208, and go listen for free. So talks about the whole program there for free. So go do that. Anyway, so what the hell is bed? What's bed cast? What the hell is that? And I'll be honest with you, there's a few things it could mean, and I actually discovered different interpretations of the acronym as I was designing the template that you see, which is the cover of the podcast now. So it could stand for better each day, Bryson every day, business excellence and discipline, or be exceptional daily. I don't know. The first goal, the first idea was Bryson every day, because it's a daily documentation of what I got going on. And then I thought, oh, better each day. I like that. Then I looked up another podcast. So shout out to the other podcast that's called the Better Everyday Podcast. At the time of recording, I've got two podcasts. Good for them. I haven't listened to it, but that's their name. I'm not that guy. I'm not going to try to take the name, but so it's called the Bedcast, and you can interpret that however you want. So the name is Bed, and you can make it stand for whatever you want. So first goal legitimately was Bryson every day. I think better every day sounds better, but better each day. And then I was actually writing kind of like the little tagline of the show, what I'm talking about. And I put failures, excellence, business and discipline. And I looked at the first letter because that's what I do with everything. And I'm like, oh, bed F, fed, fed B, fed X. And I was just trying to think. And I was like, holy fuck, that says bed too. I was like, wow, business, excellence, discipline. Huh. Daily. Better every day with business, excellence, and discipline. Bed, bed. Bed squared cast, dude. You're listening to the Bed Squared Cast. So that's that. That's what that stands for. That's what I'm running with. I again, as you can listen to in episode one, I kind of just ran with it. I didn't put a ton of thought. I have been putting a lot of thought into what I want the cover to look like. And I want it to look professional. I want it to be appealing and look like a podcast. Because the current one, or the one previously, I didn't really like it. I put more effort into that to make it, to have something be different. But I don't know. Just wanted to change it up. So that's what I did. So yeah, that's what Bed is. So it's the Bryson Everyday Podcast, where it's just me documenting the day-to-day of everything. You can listen to that, to the intro and the outro. Also, fun fact, if you've made it this far, if you skip twice, so 15 seconds twice, right as the show starts, you'll skip the intro completely. You don't have to listen to that shit. So there's that. And so I talked about this briefly, but the idea here is to make another podcast that is more refined and more polished and has strict focus and strict focus on professionalism, organization, and quality. And it focuses on what it takes to actually get to where I want to go. And so this podcast is the daily documentation. The other one will be, I guess, the refined lessons and how you can implement them in your life. This is me just kind of sharing what I see along the path. Other one's going to be, I saw this on the path, here's how you can take advantage of this kind of thing. And so we'll see how that goes. I haven't put much thought into that one, but I guess I'm just rebranding this one for no real reason. Just want it to be a little bit better. And so that's what this is. So yeah, this one obviously is a behind the scenes. It's more personal to me. It's more nitty gritty details and a whole bunch of random shit. It's more about the thoughts and ideas that cross my mind, and I share them without organizing them or thinking it through. I don't think a lot of shit through before I speak with them, which is a flaw of my character that I want to improve on. But keeping it real raw and honest with you guys, this is what this is. So it's just to show the vulnerable side and the realness of a man who desires more of life. And what actually, really, literally happens behind the scenes of some of the greatest people that you see. So a lot of people talk a big talk, and they do walk a big walk. They do practice what they preach, and they do have these great things. And they're rich. They have the business. They have the whatever. And you get to hear about all those things from the perspective of them now. But what is it like to listen to Elon talk about how he wants to send rockets to Mars when he was 15? You know? Shit like that. And so, anyway, Well, with all that being said, the rest of this show is just going to be going into very extreme personal detail of my life, where I'm at, my wages, my interests, my job, my schedule, priorities, family, details of my life, so that you can compare where you might be at if you're listening in 12 years or 18 years to where I'm at as a 26-year-old man living in his uncle's house, okay? So that's pretty much the rest of the podcast. So let's dive into that. So I have three jobs right now. I work full-time at Hill Air Force Base, Utah. I repair F-35 fighter jet canopies so the pilot can see out of them. Second job is, I'm going to go in order here. So that's my first job. Work that 40 hours a week. It's actually 45 one week, 36 one week, 45 the next. I think it's actually 44. Yeah, it's 44 one week, 36 the next. So it's 80 biweekly. So I make $26.68 per hour there. I'm scheduled to go about $28.52 in the summer, $29.66 in October, and then $31.14 in the winter or early 2025. So January, February. It just depends on when I get that first one. So it is set up to get raises fairly quickly, I guess, depends on where you're starting. So that's very good for me. Not a lot of people have the opportunity. So I think I lucked out there. And then my next job is a FedEx driver. I deliver boxes. It's for me right now. So in case you don't know, FedEx Ground is all contracted work. I have never worked a day in my life for the company FedEx, but I do work for contractors who service FedEx. So I deliver boxes. And for me with this contractor right now, I make $170 per day, no matter what. And then $1 per stop after 135 stops. So I do about 165 to 205 stops daily, which is about $200 to $240 gross per day. And so that's about 6 hours worth of work average, which is about $33 to $40 an hour. So hourly pays great, but I work less hours than my main job. Therefore, I make more at my main job because I work more. And I used to work FedEx full time and for a contractor in Colorado. So I made $220 a day, no matter what. And then that was my staple. And then every stop above 170, it was $1.10, I think. And so I would do 250 stops. So I made an extra $80. So it was like $300 a day. I worked closer to 8 hours per day doing that. And so, you know, it was actually closer to seven. Some days are fucked and I work 15 hours. Some days I get lucky and I only work four. So it just depends. And that's great. It's a great gig. Just extremely laborious. It's very taxing on the body. And it depends on how hard you want to work. The faster you go, the more hourly you make. The slower you go, the less. So I take advantage of that, and I bust my ass. I get $40 an hour, so hell yeah. And then third job is for the same company, the same contractor. I'm a truck washer, so every other Sunday, I go and clean FedEx trucks in a power wash station, one of those outdoor car wash bullshits. So I get $200 a day for that. It's a one-hour drive down there. It's 6 hours to clean everything, wash whatever, an hour drive back. I'm only paid for those 6 hours. The drive's not included, but just to show that it's 8 hours total of my day. So I get about $33 an hour for that. It's every other Sunday. And so work schedule. So my work schedule is on a kind of a bi-weekly thing. So Monday through Friday, work Hill Air Force Base from 5 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. Saturday, I work FedEx, which is typically, I don't know, 8 to 2 or 9 to 3. 10 to 4, just depends on when my first stop is. And then Sunday, go and wash trucks. So no days off for the first week. Second week, Monday through Thursday, work Hill Air Force Base. Friday and Saturday, I work FedEx. Same schedule. Then Sunday, I'm off. So I have one day off per 14 days. And I am able to maintain that because I actually enjoy the things that I do. And I try to maintain a positive and good attitude while I'm doing those things. I've had a job where I worked maybe 20 hours a week and I hated it. I couldn't stand it. But now I'm working, I think 60 or something like that per week, and I'm fine. I actually enjoy it. So one job offsets the other. And then when that one's dull, the other one offsets that, if that makes sense. So my full-time job is very sit on your ass like, and then FedEx is very door to door running and gunning kind of thing. So I really value the variety that I have. And I think it's a hack because for me, at least, I've always wanted a job where I could do something one day and then another the next. And I kind of get that with working four and 5 days a week with one job and then two to three on the next with something completely different. So that's that. Let me catch my breath. Good Lord. Also pretty congested, so sick. So that's the work schedule. So the pay schedule, so I get paid at Hill Air Force Base weekly, or excuse me, bi-weekly, and then I get paid FedEx and the truck washing weekly. So I get six checks a month, sometimes eight, depending on how the week or the month sets up. So I can get six to eight. 2 months out of the year, I get eight. 2 months out of the year, I get seven. The remaining, I get six. So bi-weekly twice, weekly four times. That's how it goes. So how much do I get paid? So Hill Air Force Base now, it's about $1,400 take home bi-weekly, soon to be $1,640-ish. FedEx and truck wash, it's about $541 one week, then $180 the next week, just because of how it offsets with working 3 days on one pay period, because they do it weird, and then one on the next. So total, it's about, where did I write that at? Total, it is about, I guess I'll do the math. I thought I wrote it down. So 1 week, it would be about 1,800. So week one, 1,800. Week two, 540. Week three, 1,800. Week four, 540, approximately. So that's what I'm taking home right now. And it's pretty sweet if there is eight checks in 1 month for me, because that's a lot of extra income. It's great. So what's my schedule like? My schedule is, at the moment, wake up 3:45. And I'm not a guy that's like, oh, you got to wake up early and get the, I don't care necessarily. I think it's good for practicing discipline, but I've always had this opinion that time is just a form of measurement, and what you do in the fake measurements that we call hours per day is just kind of, as long as you, somebody who wakes up at one time and goes to bed at another versus another person who goes to bed at a different time or whatever, as long as you do what's required in the day and you get it done, and you're able to get your quality sleep. I'm not a science guy, but how the fuck does that make any difference? So whether I wake up at 4 a.m. or noon or 4 p.m., as long as I'm doing the same, it's just, I don't know. Like when people say you shouldn't eat past 6 p.m., well, that assumes that I'm on the same exact schedule as you. What if I wake up at 6 p.m.? So you're telling me not to, you know what I mean? Fuck. So anyway, all that being said, I wake up at 3:45 just because I have to go to work. I wake up at 3:45, prepare for work, out the door by 4:30-ish, and then I'm to work by 5. I work from 5 to 2:30. From 2:45 to 3:45, I hit the gym. And then when I get home, right after that, 4 to 7 p.m., I call it OT, like overtime. It's the time that I get to spend on myself and what I want to do. So that's reading, self-development, building this business, recording this podcast, writing, whatever. That's what that is. So that's overtime is what I call it. And then 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock is prepare for bed, because sleep is so important, dude. Holy shit. You know, I used to be under the impression that, you know, if you live to be 100, you sleep 8 hours per night. That's 33 years of your life sleeping. But if you only sleep 6 hours per night, it's 25 years of your life sleeping. So by only sleeping 6 hours a night every day for the rest of your life, you're gaining 8 years of life. You know, I was under that. That was the best way to go about it. Quickly realized that when you fill your plate full with a whole bunch of shit you got to do every single day, that you get fucking gassed, and there's absolutely no energy if you don't get your sleep. So am I a guy that needs to get his 8 hours of sleep or whatever? No, but I would highly prefer it, because I like to be focused and able to get my shit done. So from 8 to 8:15, I try my best to be in bed and fall asleep. So from 8:15 to 3:45, that's about 7.5 hours of sleep. And so my schedule, so that's all for FedEx, or for Hill Air Force Base, the full-time job. For FedEx, it's the same exact thing, except it's kind of pushed back a few hours. So my overtime per day is, I get about 6 hours to work on my shit, because I go to bed later and I'm off work a little bit earlier. So there's a couple hour differences there. And I'm able to work on my shit longer, which is cool. But yeah, so it's pretty much the same exact thing as what I'm trying to say. It's just pushed back a little bit. These things that we call hours that are a form of measurement, I get more of those. So, and then Sundays, the every other Sunday, I'm free all day. So that's how that schedule works. So, and when you combine the free time, the overtime hours that I have per week, biweekly, because 1 week's not the same as the other, it's slightly different. When you add up all the total free time or overtime hours that I have, If I have, let's see, so if I rest at the gym 2 days a week, that frees up about 3 hours because it's an hour and a half, you know, changing, go to the gym, drive to whatever. So that's about 3 hours per two gym sessions. If I take 2 days of rest out of the seven, so I work out 5 days a week, that gives me 29 hours 1 week and 39 hours the next of overtime time for me to work on whatever. And so that's an average of 34 per week to dedicate to anything that I want. So whether that's business, development, reading, podcasting, writing, whatever. And that's one of the things I've been stressing about. If you kind of look around the internet, it's suggested that you have 40 to 60 hours per week to dedicate towards business, and I only have 29. So kind of stressful to think that I'm diving in the deep end and I don't know how to swim. So stressing me out. But we're learning and growing, so I don't give a fuck. We'll figure it out. And if I don't, I'll die trying, so I can live a happy. I can die, and everyone will know that I died doing what I love. And that's, I don't know a better way to go out, if I'm being real. So anyway, not going to die. We're fine. But so for some context, the average guy who is working 5 days a week, 9 to 5, just, you know, 9 to 5, whatever, hits the gym for an hour 4 times a week with my same schedule. I don't know the exact math, but he would have about 30 hours, 20 to 30 hours more than I do per week. So where I have 29, he might have 50 or 60. And so I'm playing at a disadvantage in that regard because I'm choosing to work extra at FedEx, for example, because that's going to provide more income, immediate income, consistent income, guaranteed income, so that I can use that money to put into business and to fund whatever I got going on. Because I'm just bootstrapping the whole thing. I'm very ignorant with a lot. I still have a lot to learn, but I'm trying to be very debt averse. I don't want to have any debt or have anything that's going to fuck me over later if I don't have to. And so if that means a slower start, but a more confident, a more stable, whatever, I'm going to roll with that. And so maybe that's wrong, but I still have so much to learn. And that's the route I'm taking now based on the information that I have now. So made that decision based on the information that I have now to the best of my ability. And so therefore, I would deem that a good decision. So, moving on. So more about me. And like I said, this whole podcast from that point forward is just about details of me. It's very disorganized. I was just rapid firing, writing shit down. So I don't socialize outside of work. I don't go out and party. I don't go to place. I don't do shit. I don't hang out with friends unless it's something that benefits me, such as the gym. You can call it selfish or whatever. I don't care. I'm trying to grow. And going out to a bar and just drinking, it's not doing shit for me. So I've also never done that once in my life. So I rarely see my family. I probably should spend more time with them, but I don't. It is what it is. Matter of fact, my mom actually called me up and invited me to go hit a bucket of balls with my family, with my mom, stepdad, little brother. And I actually wanted to go, but I had to record this and write everything for this. And I still have to get all my meals in, still have to kind of finish this day because I had a lot going on. I had a lot planned today to get done. I was very excited to get it all done because it was my off day for FedEx, so I had to wash trucks today. And so I wanted to take advantage of this full day of overtime work that I get. So I felt bad that she invited me and I had to decline, but it's easier when people don't invite you to shit. It sounds so, so sad, but it is so much easier to do shit when nobody's sending you invites. And I always used to think that sucked, you know. Nobody cares about me. Nobody's asking where I'm at or inviting me. But dude, what a fucking advantage it is now. When you got shit going on, it's like, man, just leave me alone, you know. Again, it sounds sad. Like I'm lonely. I have nobody. But yeah. So she invited me and I felt bad because I did decline. I do want to go, but I just fucking can't, dude. I got to do this. And I think that's the discipline aspect of it all, because you might listen to this and think, well, he's not doing shit anyway, so why does he got to do this over spending time with his family? And I'm just trying to follow the vision that I have for myself in the best way that I can, because every investment that I make in my future now, it's going to pay dividends, gazillions of dividends later. And so I fully believe that. So I should spend more time with family, but it is what it is. Single, no kids, and at the time of recording, I'm actually living with my uncle and aunt, but in June, I'll be solo again, so I'm pretty hyped about that. So now I'm going to go into some bills. Grandpa always taught us to not talk about money and talk about what we make, talk about what we got going out. Never really understood why, because I don't give a shit. I think it's inspiring to know what people make. So anyway, now it was rent is zero, but it will be about $2,000, which includes rent, utilities, internet, water, taxes, all that shit. So about $2,000. It's probably going to be a little bit less, actually, but I always round up to err on the side of caution. So $2,000 for that, about $400 per month in groceries, which might go up because I want to spend, I want to invest in a meal prep company. So not sure how much extra that would be, but that would definitely be taken out of that $400. So $400 per month, about $100 weekly. I always round up. Sometimes it's more, sometimes it's less, depends. But $180 per gas per month, which is about $50 for 10 days-ish. It's or $60 per 10 days-ish. And it just depends. So I'm moving soon, so it should be a little bit less of a drive to work by a few miles, but it adds up, so who knows. $95 a month for car insurance, $50 for student loans, $91 for my phone bill. And we have a whole bunch of shit that I deem unnecessary. So we have Spotify, the Adobe Suite, the Podbean podcasting hosting services, Dropbox, iCloud, and the Google Photos. And so Spotify is $10, Adobe Suite is $30, soon to be $60 because I got it on a deal. Podbean, which is $15, Dropbox, which is $15, iCloud, $5, Google Photos, $2. And that's what I got going out per month. That's the monthly shit. And I recently paid off about $6,000 worth of loans and credit cards and shit. And so that's a huge win for me. So all this extra money that I'm making with the lack of bills that I have, which I guess is just rent and groceries, that's just all going into bills and shit to get out of debt so that when I do have my own place, I'm debt free. And I can use all that extra money that I'd be spending on bills to put into business and to fund my shit. So I had a loan. So my car, two loans and a couple of credit cards, the total amount I had to pay per month was, I think close to $1,000. So one loan was car is $260 a month. I don't think I wrote that on it. Yeah, $260 for my car payment. It's going to be paid off by November. So $260 for the car, $200 for a loan. I think $180 for another loan. So you can just, we'll just round that up. So we're about $650 right now. And then I had two credit cards. There's about $150 total for both. So about $750 there. And then I had one more thing. So I think it was closer to $800 actually. So $800 a month and all that shit. So now when I do move out, I'm not going to have any of that. So that's $800 in my pocket. So that's badass. And I'm working three jobs now to fund all that so that I can get out of debt as quickly as possible. And I don't think it's for everything, but the more I look at the benefits of doing so, the more I think that it's only going to benefit me to do that until I can safely quit one of those jobs. Probably FedEx, which brings a tear to my eye because that thing, it's a great job. So that's the goal, I guess. So quit one job and then free up more time and then quit the other job, free up more time and then quit the full-time job. And then shit gets real. So that's the plan. So what else do we have here? Yeah, so the goal is to be debt-free by the end of the year, even after I get my own place in June. And that will happen. I'm very excited about that. It's going to be tight. I'm forcing myself to, just, even after I get my place, to store money away and to pay shit off. Even after I have everything there and I'm paying for rent and this and I got to, you know, because I'd like to buy some furniture because I've had two places of my own in the past, never bought any furniture, never had guests over, never gave a fuck, still don't plan to have guests over, but I would like to make it more homey for me to make it more enjoyable to be there. And I have a two bedroom, so I think I'm going to make one bedroom the office where I go in there and that's where I work and then only go in my bedroom to go to bed. There should be no other reason why I'm in my bedroom. Yes, we're honking. I don't know if you guys can hear that. This mic's good, I think. So anyway, that's the plan. Let's see. Groceries and gas are rounded up to the nearest, just to err on the side of caution. It's probably less than $100 per month, per week in groceries. Probably a little bit less. It's definitely less than $60 per week or per 10 days in gas. So let's see what it is. It's per fill up. So gas is about $3.49 times 14. So it's $48 for full tank. That's if I'm completely empty. So it's probably about $45. So that right there shaved $45 off. So it's probably closer to $135, not $180. So that's cool. But I budget that and finance that put the finances of that into the Excel sheet that I have, which tracks everything, which is just Google Sheets. It's not Excel. And I can just see how much I'll have when. So I can see how much I'll have on December 31st, 2026. So that's cool. Yeah. So, and here's the cool thing. So come January 2025, so 8 months away, I'll be able to pocket an average of $2,100 per month, meaning I make $2,100 more per month than I spend. So not living paycheck to paycheck whatsoever. It's very cool. I've never been able to have that kind of money in my life. So, and there's a milestone right there for you. So hopefully by the time somebody's listening to this, who sees that I've made it or whatever, comes back and listens to me say I make $2,100 extra than what I spend, hopefully by the time somebody listens to this, I make $2,100 an hour. You know what I mean? That's the goal. So that's that. So that's kind of the financial part. I think there's a little bit more later on, but here's a little bit about the drive time, how much I spend driving. So when I drive to my full-time job now, it's about 20 to 30 minutes, say Hill Air Force Base, and it's soon to be about 8 to 12, because I'll be moving closer to work. And I recently covered this topic in a previous episode where I say moving closer saves me about a half hour of drive time total per day. And if you factor in the amount that I'm paid average between both jobs, you could say it's like $32 an hour. And so when I save a half hour, that's saving $16 of my life. So $16 times it by, you can just say 25 for the whole month. So how much am I saving actually? So 16 times 25. So I'm saving $400 in time per month by moving closer. And that's a good trade for me. Like, I'm saving $400 of time. I just think that's a great deal. So anyway, that's how it is for my full-time job. For FedEx, it's 20 to 25 minutes now. It's probably going to be longer than that soon, so maybe 27, because I'm moving further away from the hub, and that's that. So for the truck washing, that's in Magna, Utah, which is about an hour drive, 45 to 60 minute drive from here, and soon it'll be 30 to 40 because I'm moving closer there. So that's that. Here's a little bit more nitty-gritty details. So I don't watch movies or TV hardly ever, for no other reason than I don't have an interest. I like horror movies, but I never watch those either. I mute everyone I follow on Instagram or Facebook or whatever, so I don't see their stories or posts. I keep valuable pages I follow unmuted so I can learn from them, such as Andy Frisella, Alex Ramosi, Andy Elliott, Andrew Huberman, etc. Just realized I just said three Andrews. Andrew Huberman, Andrew Elliott, Andrew Huberman, Andrew Frisella. I just said that twice. My bad. And then Alex Ramosi. Everybody's name starts with an A, dude. Crazy. Yeah, so I don't know shit about mainstream anything. Pop culture, I don't know shit. Old movies, famous band, I don't give a fuck. I don't have an interest, so I don't even pretend. I don't know, you know? So it's hard to strike up a conversation with people because they're like, oh, did you see this movie? Or do you watch this movie? You see this TV series? You know this person? It's like, dude, I have no idea. Did you read 100 Million Offers by Alex Ramosi, though? You know what I mean? I follow a little bit of politics. I really only have an interest in self-development and reading and fitness, learning, like basketball. I like the podcast. I really can't think of anything else. So that's a little bit about me in a nutshell. All right, diet time. So what am I eating? So about 225 grams of protein per day. I'm on a streak of 55 days of getting that, which is cool. So I drink a gallon of water per day, another streak of 55 days. I track all my food, so everything that I eat goes into MyFitnessPal. I'm probably going to switch to Carbon Diet Coach by Lane Norton because it's a great thing. It's a great tool. Used to have it, and then I opted out because I was a poor bitch, couldn't afford 10 bucks a month. It is what it is. And then, yes, that's what I do. So typically now it's about 230 to 250 grams of protein per day on average, and about 400 to 500 grams of carbs per day, and 70 to about 120 grams of fat per day. I'm not strict with the amounts whatsoever. Just as long as I get 225 grams of protein, that's a win for me. And I'm just focusing on that because it's easy for me to maintain that at the moment. And I guess I'm bulking. And that's the goal. I just want to get stronger and bigger. I'm really don't care about being super cut and lean and looking a certain way right now, but I'm sure that'll change in the future. I'd like to look the part if I have a supplement that I'm selling. So My workout split is pretty much just following a traditional chest, back, shoulders, legs split, arm, you know, 12 to 15 sets per muscle group, and then 6 to 9 per smaller muscle group. You know, abs maybe every other day. I'm really bad with that. Calves on legs and chest day. Just kind of sprinkling everything in there. Workouts are about an hour long. Could be longer if I put more in there, but it's kind of what I do. Which gym do I go to? So, from Utah, we have Vasa Fitness, we have EOS Fitness, we have Snap Fitness, we have some random gyms. But the main ones that I go to are the ones where I work, actually, on Hill Air Force Base. And if I don't go there, I'll go to Vasa Fitness. And if I don't go to Vasa, I'll go to EOS, because EOS is 24/7. But I actually have a pass that allows me to go to every gym for $30 a month. There's no contract, there's no fees, there's no cancellation. It's actually crazy. I don't understand the business model there. But it's called Active and Fit Now. I get nothing for saying that. I'm not affiliated with them whatsoever. But it is a great... It's $30 a month. You can go to whatever gym you want. That's a good deal. So that's what I do. So I have two herniated discs in my L4 and L5. And then my L5 and L6. And yes, I do have six lower lumbar vertebrae. That's cool. I got blessed with the sixth one. And it's herniated. Great. It's very painful sometimes. And other times, I can't feel it. For the greater portion of the last 5 years, I haven't felt it at all, but recently it's been acting up and it's been very painful, so much so that it's brought me to my knees and I cried, because I'm so scared of going back to feeling that pain again, because it was so debilitating and life sucked. Well, hold on, life was not as good as it is now. Life didn't suck, it's just attitude, but mentally and emotionally exhausting when it does hurt. Physically, of course, but mentally, it's like, fuck, I can't go to do this. I can't do that. I'm so disabled, whatever, you know. So beat myself up about it quite a bit, and it is what it is. So God bless with that. Blessed with a curse, you know. So that's that. So as far as podcasts go, I listen to Relay F by Andy Frisella. I listen to The Game by Alex Ramosi a little bit more recently. Recently just kind of turned on to him and the things that he says and talks about, maybe a couple months ago. And I listened to Modern Wisdom by Chris Williamson. I listened to The Bed podcast. You might have heard of it. And as far as books go, I like reading self-help. I don't really read fiction or any of that bullshit. But the focus now for me is learning something, just one thing, as opposed to a page count. So for 75 hard, you have to read 10 pages. And I've always done that, but recently I've just made it a goal to learn something, even a little thing. And as soon as I learn something, I can keep going or I can close the book. But the focus is to learn something, to get a new perspective, to learn a definition of a word, just something. And then I close the book. And so now every time I read, I will learn something. I will gain something from it. And I don't have to worry about reading a certain page count. I used to be with a guy that was like, better read a book a week. But who gives a fuck if you're not learning or implementing any of that stuff? And, you know, they call it mental masturbation. And so I don't want to do that anymore. I want to take what I learn, or take what I read, learn it, absorb it, and implement it as soon as I can. So if I learn a new word, I want to try to start saying that word. Even if it's not part of my vocabulary, even if it's not native to how I speak, I still want to try, because that's how you learn. So that's what I do for reading. I just focus on learning something. And I just finished $100 Million Offers by Alex Ramosi. It's a great book on how to kind of craft up an offer, how to build value in that offer. And then I'm also reading Thinking Fast and Slow by Daniel Kahneman. Don't know how to pronounce that shit, but that's what I'm reading. And that's a book on thinking fast and slow, as the title says. It's intuitive thinking, intuitive reaction versus, you know, kind of thinking about things. And there's a lot of different unique perspectives in there. I'm only on page like 60, but it's been a good read so far. So as far as business goes, I read a book. It's called 12 Months to 1 Million by Ryan Daniel Moran. And the idea that I got from that book was to start my own pre-workout supplement. And that's kind of the idea I've been running with ever since. It was explained very simply, and everything's always easier said than done. But it was explained, you know, you get a product that sells for $30. You sell that 25 times per day, which doesn't sound like a lot, but for a newbie like me, that's a shit ton. But 25 per day, and that is, I can't remember the exact number, let's do the math. So 25 times 30 per day, 750 times 365, $27,000 per year. And if you do that with three other products, that's $1 million business. And so, very simply put, sell a product 25 times per day with four products, and you will have $1 million company. And I was like, huh, that's that simple, huh? It's always easier said than done, but that kind of turned me on to that. So the idea is a pre-workout because I know the most about that as opposed to any other industry or business idea that I could venture into at this time. And I got to tell you, there's a lot of uncertainty and I talk myself out of so much and I get discouraged very easily with this shit. But I keep pressing on. I'm not going to give up. I'm never going to quit. So the worst that happens is I spend a lot of money to learn lessons. The best that happens is I spend a lot of money to learn lessons and I make a shit ton of money back. And that's a fair, very easy trade that I'm willing to make. So transferring a little bit here, I'm technically college dropout. I did three semesters at three different schools. I did fine each one, but I decided that it was bullshit and I dropped out. So I even remember the conversation I had with my English teacher. I gave him the paper for him to sign that was pretty much giving me permission to withdraw from the class. And he said, "Oh man, you're doing so good. Why are you dropping out?" I was like, I'm moving, so I just got to move. Yeah. And the reason was I fuck school. Next question. So I've been in three relationships, two of which ended because my desire to move on to a new location was greater than staying with the partner. So went from Utah to Arizona, broke up with one person, and then from Arizona to Colorado. Wasn't technically dating this person, but we were dating and whatever. Broke up with them so I could move. And then I moved from Colorado to Utah. And I'm so grateful that I didn't let people or connections root me in or prevent me from moving on to something bigger and greater. If I did that, I wouldn't have gotten the experience of moving. I wouldn't have learned more about myself. I wouldn't have gained the experience and the perspective of what it's like to be feeling certain ways and to be living a certain life. And so for that reason, I'm very grateful that my desire to grow pretty much was greater than my desire to be in a relationship and to have love and comfort and attention and affection. So I think I'm just a little bit different in that regard. So there's that. So I've moved out of my mom's three different times. So I moved out to go to school, moved back home, moved out to move to my girlfriend at the time's house, then I moved back home. Then I moved to St. George and then I didn't move back in since. So between 2021 and 2023, I moved from northern Utah to St. George, Utah, and then from St. George, Utah to Phoenix, Arizona, and then I moved again in Phoenix, Arizona to get my own place for the very first time. Then I moved from there to Parker, Colorado, and technically I moved again, but it was just because my unit was infested with roaches. Great. And then I moved from there to northern Utah, which is where I'm at now. And now I'm moving again in June to get my own place for a third time. The nicest place I've ever had. It's got a garage and everything. I'm very, very hyped about it. So that's a little bit about moving history. As far as personal achievement goes, I competed in a men's physique show at the age of 19. I won the teens division. I won second place, or I got second place in the natural division out of two people. Haha. I got second place in true novice, I think out of five people. I tied for third in novice out of four people, I believe. So you could say that we both got last place, whatever. And I got sixth place in the open out of, I think, 11. I was about 168 pounds. I was 6 foot. Still am 6 foot. And yeah, so that's pretty much the only thing competition-wise or achievement-worthy, I guess, I've done in my life. And I do want to compete again. It's not a priority at the moment. Not sure which route I want to take in fitness, but competing again would be great. It's just not a priority at the moment. So hopefully in the future, I would love to get back on stage and redeem myself. But as far as business goes, I have ran a fitness coaching business before. It was about 2 years long. I did some photography for about 2 years. I did some videography of gym videos and edits. That was an ongoing thing for a while. I technically still do it, but I haven't done it in years. And that was the funnest thing I think I've done. It was just so creative and fun to make people look like ballers. And so that's what I did. So then I did graphics design. That was on and off. Fuck, it was on and off. It was smaller. It was just for fun. But I did make some money from it, so it's cool. So all total with all this shit, I probably made total in 5 years, like $5,000 maybe, between all this shit. So have a little bit of business experience. I've joined a few masterminds. And just because I was lazy and not disciplined, I didn't act on any of this shit, and I was a little bitch, and I didn't do anything. So those three masterminds, I learned a lot, didn't implement any of it, and I wasted a lot of money. I didn't waste, but I definitely spent a lot of money and didn't get any ROI from it. So that's that. So a little bit more about me here. Hopefully you guys are listening and entertained, because I'm fucking bored of this shit. I've always loved numbers. I love math. I like things like puzzles and Rubik's cubes and mind twisters and shit like that. I like to think. I'm a deep thought always. I like to try to figure out better ways to do shit. I like to innovate where I can, no matter how ghetto it is, no matter how it looks. And now I just like to do hard shit. I think discipline really is the ultimate secret sauce of life. Feeling proud of yourself, going through hard shit and saying, hey, I did that. That gives me so much fulfillment in life. And, I like to learn. I like to get better. It's corny shit. Not a lot of people can relate. Not a lot of people can relate to that. And it's a bummer, but I'm authentic to myself. I'm true to myself. I'm not fake. And I can be proud of that. So, yeah, lived in three different states, been to maybe 12 total, never been out of the country. I've signed with a modeling agency, then proceeded to do nothing about it because I felt insecure. And this is actually why I was in my last semester of college, where I dropped out. And this was at Utah Valley University. But I signed with a modeling agency and then didn't do any gigs whatsoever because I just felt ugly. And So three schools I went to was Weber State University, ISSA online, and then Utah Valley University. And I have like 7 certifications through the ISSA. And what's interesting about this, which is personal training and nutrition and stuff, I was never once asked if I was certified as a fitness coach or a trainer or a nutrition. Never once. Interesting, huh? From people who are interested in fitness coaching. So, previous jobs. So I worked at a grocery store as my first job. I was a bagger. And then they told me not to come in one day. And I said, okay. Come in the next day, and they said, why didn't you ask why you weren't supposed to come in the other day? And I said, well, you told me not to. And they said, oh, well, we think you should, you're probably just not a good fit. And then I quote unquote got fired. Then I got hired at another grocery store the next day, was a bagger there. And then I worked my way up and did almost every department in the store, which was for Kroger. Then from there, I left and went and was a registered behavior technician. So I worked with kids with autism or mental health issues or whatever you want to call them for 2 years, from ages 2 years old to 18. Then from there I left, sold cars for a month, sold one car because I was learning and I was very insecure. I was not disciplined and I was so paranoid of talking with people and confrontation and objection and stuff, and learned a lot from there. So went from doing that to selling gym memberships for a month. And at EOS Fitness, which is cool. Learned a lot there. Then from there, I did my own fitness business for a while. Then I got rehired at a grocery store. Then I moved. Then I got with FedEx because I wanted to be outside. This was in St. George. I literally Googled jobs outside. And I popped up with an Indeed. It showed me things around Zions National Park. Showed me a lot of different positions. And it said FedEx driver with Blackland deliveries or something like that. And I was like, oh, a FedEx driver, are you kidding me? Clicked on it, applied, here we are, crazy. And FedEx carried me through Arizona and Colorado and St. George because I ended up quitting the grocery store there when I was the manager, actually. And that, again, I quit the manager position because I just wasn't fit for the position. I didn't have what it took. And I was just a bitch, man. It's going through it. It's going through a really tough breakup at the time, too. And that I caused. And it put a lot of unnecessary stress and heartache on myself. And so caused a lot of shit. So anyway, FedEx carried me through the states, brought me back. Now I'm working at Hill Air Force Base full-time, doing FedEx part-time on the weekends, and then washing trucks. That's a little bit of the employment history right there. I run pretty much my whole life off of Excel. It's on Google Sheets. But like my finances, goals, money, goals, everything's on sheets on Excel. It's just easy for me to look at that. And I love Excel, of the formulas and stuff like that. So when I was little, I wanted to be an NBA All-Star, a pro skater, a BMX rider, a video game designer, an architect, and an exercise equipment designer, and then later I wanted to become a personal trainer. And a couple of those I did. Became a trainer and became an architect in Minecraft. So that's that. As far as religion goes, I grew up LDS. I haven't been to church in almost 11 years, and I don't necessarily even know what I believe in as far as a higher power or higher being goes, and I never think about it. I never, ever think about it. There's a lot of things I don't believe in. There's a lot of things I'm not opposed to, so I think by definition, I'm agnostic, and even if that's true or false, I don't care. As far as family goes, grandma had 5 kids. My mom was obviously one of them. So I grew up with a larger family with 3 uncles and an aunt. And I always loved that aspect of the family gathering. It's such just a big family. Everybody's there. It's a party. And so I'm the oldest sibling by 9 years. I'm the oldest grandchild by 7. And I'm the oldest great-grandson by I don't even know how many. I'm not the oldest great-grandchild, but I am the oldest great-grandson. So that's cool. And that's actually all I've got. So that's a little summary, or an hour long summary about me. And again, this is just to serve as a reference point to where I'm at now and where I started, kind of my circumstances, what I've been through, you know, very surface level. And that's the whole reason why I'm sharing all these details, just to serve as a reference point for those listening in 14 years from now. So, and just to reiterate, if I could go back and listen to Andy Frisella when he was running his first supplement store, it would be so cool to hear him talk about his past, his previous job, his current financial standpoint, how much he brings in, how much time he spends doing this, how much time he spends doing that, where he puts his values, where his values even are, where his priorities are for business, just what his interests are. How does he spend his time? For example, there might be somebody who out there who doesn't watch TV or movies either, like me, and probably gets made fun of for it. I mean, people always jab me. You don't watch movies? What do you do for fun? You know, fuck off. So maybe hearing me talk about it can help them not feel so weird or dorky and help them feel a sense of belonging, or like, okay, well, this guy who's a quadrillionaire, he didn't watch movies or TV either. I don't watch movies or TV, so I'm probably on the same path. So I'm going to be a quintillionaire, you know? Obviously I'm joking with that because quintillion does not exist. But anyway, so maybe if I knew that Andy and I worked the same schedule at the same age, or maybe we had the same interest, or 2 hours a day we did the same thing, I might feel like I'm on the right path because he did it and so am I. So I must be onto something here, right? That's a leading indicator of success. And that is the very last note that I have written for this hour and 1 long minute podcast. So talked about a lot, but this is just about me. It's about how much I make, how I spend my time, my priorities, all that shit. And there's a lot of very detailed personal information in here. And obviously, I'm posting this because I want people to know. And I want people to know who listened to this in 15 years. I do think it's weird that people that I work with and people that like family could listen to this and know pretty much every detail of my life. That's a weird thought. But having someone be able to listen to this in 15 years to be able to see where I was at when I started. And then I've already said this 1,000 times, so whatever. That's the goal. That's the point of this episode. And this is the very first episode of The Bed Podcast, which is Bryson Every Day, which is the daily documentation of a man who desires more, who refuses to give up. And so in this podcast, again, we're going to talk about business, which I haven't talked a lot about that yet because I don't have one. Kind of doing the first thing first, the pre of the pre-pre and the discipline, which is something I engage in every single day. Ice bath, the gym, waking up early, maintaining commitments to myself, keeping my word, doing a whole bunch of minuscule shit that I will talk about soon. Probably pick up about 20 pieces of trash on the ground per day for no other reason than it's the easiest way to exercise discipline. And just shit like that, dude. And that's kind of how I like to live life. It makes me happy. I feel fulfilled. I go to bed with a smile on my face most nights, knowing that I gave it my all. And I leave nothing on the table. Most days. Some days, I don't do shit, and I feel like shit. So, go figure. But that's it. That is episode 1 of this. But I'm not going to restart. This is episode 157. So, it's March 24th. It's 2024. It's 6:03 p.m. Sitting at my desk. And we're recording. I got a whole bunch of garbage on my desk because I've sat at my desk all day just writing this podcast out, making the cover art that you see, trying to make everything blend together and make it look a certain way, adding overlays, making it look nice, all while trying to remember to eat, to drink water, and to get my calories in, and text family back, text friends back, whatever. And so that's kind of a little look. I feel really good. I have been stressed out of my ass today because I have wanted to do so many different things, but I've had no time. I've got plenty of time. I've not planned out, we're going to organize my day to know that the time will be spent effectively. So it's been stressing me out. And that's some more shit that I would like to document, not to just pull my phone out and be like, guys, I'm freaking out, I don't know what to do, but like, kinda, you know, I'd love to be able to document everything. And if that means being a, sounding like a complete and total dumbass and doing what people call now, doing shit just for attention, I don't know, I just want to put everything out there. So that's it. That is 157 of now the Bed Podcast. Bryson every day, better each day. Be exceptionally disciplined, whatever. You can interpret the bed however you want. But one thing we are going to do is we are going to put our old selves to rest. And we're going to go to bed. Okay. Now that we're ending on some corn, there you go. That's the show. I'll see you in the next one. Peace out. Hey, thanks for listening. And a quick reminder here. So this podcast doesn't prioritize professionalism or quality at all. It's just meant to be a shoot from the hip type podcast with the intent just to get a quick message out. So some episodes might be inaudible in 30 seconds and others might be 45 minutes and super crisp sounding. So all these are being made so that by episode 7,305, which is 20 years, we can come back and see the entire playbook of how I made it to wherever I'm going. So thank you so much for listening. I really appreciate it. I'll talk to you soon.